Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your name, please. Your name.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and happy to say, for the second straight day, everyone present and accounted for, as the fellas are here, Nick, Barry, and myself, and we will take you till 4 o'clock. What's going on, guys?
What it do?
All good in the neighborhood. Sun shining. That's a pleasant surprise.
What's up?
What is that?
What's what?
You get a smirky face and then kind of a coy what's up?
How goes it?
I haven't seen you at all today.
Yes, you have.
I've seen you since 10 o'clock this morning.
I was going to say, that's a lie.
Boy, oh boy, meetings.
I've seen more of you than I care to.
Exactly. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Life in general, just flying by.
Charlie doing play-by-play of Astros preseason. I don't think I need any of that.
Oh, boy.
Getting excited about pop-ups on the infield.
Yeah.
All I noticed is that the Marlins are back to those ugly-ass jerseys in that bad turquoise blue.
Are they throwing it back or what?
I don't know where they're throwing it. I'd throw it out.
They're not bad.
The Marlins' whole thing is, ever since they won the World Series, is everything's gimmicky.
You think so?
That big-ass sculpture they had in the outfield.
You like the rainbow thing better than this turquoise thing?
No, I think they should go back to the uniforms when they won the World Series, when they were more traditional baseball uniforms.
Okay.
These look more like carnival uniforms.
Okay.
All the different rainbow bright colors. I know it's Miami-esque, but
yes. It
does nothing. Okay.
All right.
Them and the Diamondbacks. I'm not getting off my lawn guy, but like the Diamondbacks have 36 different variations of a uniform. And last year it looked like the difference between a softball team and a reptile. I'm done with all of that too.
Yeah, I would say that they're probably one of the worst.
They unloaded all those.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they went back to traditional this year. And that's, I think, the Marlins should do the
same. Smart.
There, I've said my piece.
Very good. You feel better?
I feel okay.
Good.
At least I have feelings.
That's debatable.
Charlie said on the air today, if he had a heart, if he had feelings, he would.
He doesn't have
feelings.
He would
care about something.
He doesn't have a heart.
Wow, he just came out like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, so, he is a rather apathetic human being, Charlie. Would you agree?
Well, I'm his friend, so I mean, he probably shows me more than most.
That's that cuts deep.
Yeah,
I mean, you throw that up to me.
I don't know if anytime
you want to dig at me, that's the first thing you go to.
I think he likes that persona though, because then he thinks he's apathetic. Yeah, there's people leave him alone.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly why he does it.
Yes,
he wants to be left alone. He doesn't like to be talked to or messed with.
No, we were giving him a hard time because we had a meeting today, and he essentially just sits there and he looks downward at his notes, which he's taking with a pen and a piece of paper, and it basically is like challenging anyone. Like, if you want to talk to me, you're going to have to call me out, and no one's going to do that. So he's good. That's kind of the way it went.
Yeah. Are you just spilling the tea?
No, I just I know Charlie. I know, and it works.
Your friend Charlie?
Yes.
That's funny.
All right, so I went back last night, in case you guys care, and I did watch the memorial service for Kobe. Amazing, by the way, how quickly the private jet got Harden, P.J. Tucker, and Westbrook back from L.A.
I was surprised to see them in warmups.
5:55 p.m., and we were guesstimating it was 2:30 Houston time when the service ended.
Yeah.
I don't know how rapidly they got to LAX and then got on that plane and how quickly they can make up time. But I, and Nick, to your point yesterday, Lisa verified, you do catch the tailwind on the way home. But so even still, to make up the time they made and then to get from where, I assume they landed where the private airstrip is, where they fly out of, as the Rockets charter does, which would be at Hobby, that they would still make it from Hobby to the Toyota Center in rush hour traffic.
That's the, I mean, the big, to me, the big X factor was the traffic in LA and how long it's going to take. So, like you said, did you know, because I just Googled it real quick. What's the flight time from LA to Houston? 3 hours and 10 minutes. So you figure if you combine getting on the plane, getting off the plane, that's at least 3.5 hours. And I figured it would take 1.5 hours in LA traffic to get to the airport. And you know, being, that's not unheard of.
No, it's true.
And that's probably a conservative estimate. So that's that right there is 3.5, 4.5. That's 5 hours. They were done at 2:30 in the afternoon. I don't know what they did or how they did it, but they pulled it off. I was very surprised to see. I figured they would play. I figured they would get there maybe for second half. But to see James Harden in the warmups and the layup line.
And then to go off. Had 30-some points in the first half, which was impressive. And again, for all the people that like to, you know, take their shots, and a lot of them deservedly so, at James Harden. But the one thing is, he's a basketball player that loves to play the game. He doesn't want to sit out. He played. I thought Russ would be joining the team in the second half. And I don't know, for one reason or
sore
another.
Sore thumb, they said.
Yeah, I guess that's their way of saying that he can have the night off. But I think he could have played. I just, for whatever reason, he didn't play. But thankfully, they didn't need him.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Knicks. We talked about it.
I'm sorry. Watching that game last night, that's one of the worst basketball teams I've seen.
They don't
in a
have
long
anybody.
Time. They I don't mean, do anything.
It was ugly. I barely made it through 2.5 quarters of basketball. I was like, I can't finish watching.
Although
this.
Bill Worrell was really complimentary of this New York Knicks squad. I felt like,
yeah, why?
I don't understand why he was so nice to him to them on the broadcast. But yeah, I mean, if your best player is Julius Randle. And they're talking about building around him. I don't think you're a good team right now.
You're not. And if you get several, I think several is a fair guesstimation of how many fast breaks where they had 3-on-1, 4-on-2, and didn't even get a shot and turned it over. Mike Miller is their interim coach. I don't – good for him.
Yeah.
But, boy, you talk about changing the president of the team and all the basketball operations – someone better get some kind of a basket. David Fizdale was relieved of his duties, and he couldn't have been as bad as what's going on right now.
When you look at them individually, though, you think, okay, these guys could help teams. Like when you think of R.J. Barrett, or you think of Dennis Smith Jr., who was a hot name for a while coming out of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then you think of Taj Gibson. How good would he look as a Rocket?
Taj Gibson,
right?
As a Rocket. It crossed my mind last night.
I mean, Julius Randle as a role player or depth for another team. But then you've basically got a starting lineup full of role players and depth guys, and that's why the Knicks are such a mess.
The bigger problem is they had to spend money this year. So Julius Randle got overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marcus Morris got overpaid, and then they bought him out. The guys you're talking about, a Reggie Bullock, who got so overpaid, he decided to try and tell the NBA his name was Bullock. Because he's awful, but he's getting a lot of money. Taj Gibson's getting a lot of money. Dennis Smith Jr. is doing better than average. So teams can't afford to take on that kind of salary right now either. And the Knicks have to have something to build around. R.J. Barrett is that guy.
It's crazy because I started looking. I was like, why is Taj Gibson listed as the Knicks basically just tried to match the Rockets at small ball. Mm-hmm. Taj Gibson's 6'9 center. You've got Robinson, who's a 7-footer.
That kid's good.
Mitchell Robinson didn't even start the game, but he could be their 7-foot center. So I was like, I wonder that. But this is why the Knicks are what they are right now, because you tried to match the fourth best team in the West and beat them at their own game by putting Taj Gibson at center. It's just not going to work. Play your game. Whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? Like it just that would be like Utah sitting Gobert and bringing him off the bench later. Like, don't just play to your strengths, and if it's not good enough, it's not good enough.
Yeah, and they're not good enough. They're an awful team. Thankfully, they have draft picks. They have some guys they can build around, but the Rockets did what they were supposed to do last night. And
got severely out-rebounded, but still didn't matter.
But credit where credit is due. For Harden to go through the day that he went through and then to play a majority of the game and put up the numbers that he put up, that is a tip of the cap right there. He did some things.
He really did. Pretty impressive. I mean, Gordon, it's good to see him starting to get back into the flow of the offense as well. But
one
yeah,
of seven what, from three though.
Harden stepped up big time.
Yeah.
But he was 4-11. I mean, they didn't shoot it great. McLemore
was good.
He was the guy. Him and I mean, Covington went 3-for-8, but still, he'll take that.
If you looked at the shot chart in the first half, James Harden had four made threes on the perimeter and basically like 10 layups.
Yeah.
It was just he could go to the basket at any time and do any whatever he wanted, so he did, and that was smart.
9 free throws, that's it. And missed his first couple.
The thing that baffles me the most is, why is Damari Carroll signed for the rest of the year and Jeff Green on a 10-day when Jeff Green has played his ass off since they put him in?
Yeah.
And Damari basically is getting like mop-up minutes?
I think Carroll is your defensive specialist guy that they're thinking of. But do you not think that Green's not going to get a contract?
Oh, I'm saying he should get one. He should already had one for the rest of the year. And Carroll would have been a guy you could have brought in for 10 days.
Yeah. So who's gone if they sign Green? Because you got to cut somebody, right?
Yeah. I don't know if you sign the little guard that shoots way too much.
5'9" guy?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
The undrafted kid.
That
rookie.
Shoots too much.
Oh, my God. I mean, everybody. I don't know if anybody in the locker room looks forward to him going. Chris Clemens. When he goes into the game,
Clemens.
It's like, he hasn't got the sweats off yet, and he's jacking it from 40 feet. I got to believe he's on that list.
He's like, I got to make my name now, baby. Yeah. Got to get it in.
You made your name as a gunner that I don't know how many teams want to play with, but from undrafted to at least sitting on an NBA roster, you did some work.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on the roster as of late. Is that one of the moves that they made? Was
I don't know if they sent him back down to the G League.
Because he's not – I mean, I tried to go back to, like, the Warriors game, not listed. So I don't know –
he might be down in the G League.
He may have been relegated for Green, so that's going to be Green's permanent spot.
But we'll see.
Which
how
would
they
be
figure
a significant
out.
Upgrade to the team.
Yeah.
If you can send Clemens down and add Jeff Green, you're better.
No doubt about it. So the Rockets got another win last night. They play again tomorrow night at home, so maybe a little rest today for the weary. But we can talk about that. We talk about a lot of other things. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call that number, text that number, and of course hit us on Twitter where it's @TheProducerNick, @PacManJoel with a K, @BarryIsFunny. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you got the fellas, and we're back on The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday in the big city. In case you missed it, the Stros are on today during the day, and it is an AT&T Sportsnet game. If you didn't miss it, you missed it anyway, because 19 minutes into the telecast, they lost the signal. They got it back about 20 minutes later.
No backup plan? I was talking to you about that in the pre-production meeting.
Yeah.
No backup plan in a situation like that by the four-letter network?
It should be. There should be. It's a three-letter network, isn't it? AT&T? I don't know. But, yeah, they should have some sort of fiber backup plan, depending on who's booking those things. But they didn't hire me for that job, so they are dealing with whoever they got to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's their first game of the spring. The thing is that people made a big deal about Altuve getting hit yesterday, and we were on the air. We didn't see it. I saw the highlight. I mean, not just an off-speed pitch. It barely, like, grazed his toe.
Yeah.
Today, they took care of it a little differently. Fourth pitch of the game, and Aledmys Diaz was hit squarely.
Plunked in the back? Fastball?
Fastball looked like on the he had a protective elbow gear on.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him high, right about where the elbow thing was, or maybe on the tricep, which would be bad if it hit there. But obviously that comes off of Derek Jeter before they played today. Jeter, the Marlins, saying that the entire Astros scandal was a huge black eye for baseball, and you don't know how long it's going to take to get over such a thing. And
I'm not going to worry about batters getting hit because, like I said yesterday, and suspected, you can't look at it in spring training because so many guys don't have their control. There's a reason they're not major league pitchers yet. if it starts happening in games in the regular season, that's where the message is sent. Not in spring training. Because a lot of these guys, even if it is a fastball, he might have been trying to pitch inside and it got away. I just don't believe you're going to hit somebody on the elbow pad if you're trying to send a message. You're going to plunk them in the back or on the ass.
To play devil's advocate, what I would say is if it's happening in spring training, it's probably a precursor to the fact that it's going to continue into the regular season unless the commissioner really puts his foot down. He can say whatever he wants, but obviously he thought he said enough when he thought he was stopping the scandal itself. Yeah. So
I mean, the only thing that you get, the only plus by doing it in the spring is it doesn't cost you any games or the potential of costing you any games. Well, but at the
most
same
guys
time,
would be giddy if they got suspended for spring games because they don't want to play anyway.
But at the same time, I'd be willing to bet you if you sat down and looked at numbers of hit batsmen percentage wise in spring training versus the regular season, the numbers significantly different because of the level of quality of pitchers in spring training versus once big boy baseball starts.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's something they're going to have to deal with. We said from the way the fans react to it, and their best bet right now in terms of how their course of action should be to just nose to the grindstone, just keep doing what they're doing and not get too much tied up into it anymore.
Just take your base.
Yeah. So the other thing that was big was that Gerrit Cole made his first spring training start last night for the Yankees. And coming off of that, he had a lot to say for the first time in a positive way, I would say, in terms of what happened last year and even the year before when he was with the Astros. Because you remember, previous to this, he basically didn't want to talk about it. He just wanted to talk about, you know, going forward, pitching for the Yankees and all of that. But it did seem to me, and I'm trying to get the exact quotes pulled up, but it did seem to me, basically on what he said was, he honestly said he stands by the fact that no cheating was done in 2019, that they got where they got fair and square, and that he wasn't aware of anything even in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, the exact quote was, but I'm telling you, we played fair and square last year. I didn't see anything in 2018 either. I really didn't, but no one wants to hear it now. Yep. And I think that's part of the key to that is no one wants to hear it now. And I'm kind of glad he said that part because that part, to me, is what rings more true than just the fact that he's coming out and defending the enemy now,
right?
By saying that I didn't see anything in 2018 or last year, but the fact that no one wants to hear it now is true. No one wants the truth. Everyone's out for blood, and so I applaud him for coming out and saying that. And it's got to be a little awkward in that clubhouse, in the Yankee clubhouse, knowing he was a part of this team that everyone hates.
And he said he wasn't going to bring it to them, but he said if any one of his teammates now with the Yankees wanted to discuss it, that he would discuss it with them.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the point that I made when we were getting into all of this was the fact that in 2019, they did make it within, you know, what was it, 8 outs of winning the World Series. Mm-hmm. And no one can say they did it through cheating. So that tells you all you need to know in terms of what kind of ball club they still have over there. It's just that guy right there and Gerrit Cole was a big part of it. And he joins the team that was your biggest competition in the American League.
And if you want to put to bed the potential dispute he may have had with AJ Hinch, mm-hmm. He addressed that as well. And he said so in the article. He talked about the fact that they had agreed he would not be pitching from behind. He would start an inning and not come in the middle of an inning. And it would probably be either if the game was tied or maybe they had a lead. And all that was known.
Right.
But he officially went on record and said, I had never lead before, so I didn't think for the first time I didn't think the first time should be the seventh inning in a jam, and he agreed, talking about AJ Hinch. Yep. We had enough people fresh to get out of those spots, he said. I'll just bring you in if we're tied or have the lead to finish it out. And then Gerrit Cole says, quote, it just slipped away from us, man. Didn't throw him under the bus. And that was a perfect opportunity to be like,
it
you
was.
Know. So you kind of feel like, look, I mean, that's just what they agreed to, and it didn't happen. So,
but don't you feel like the way he reacted at the time was he wanted to be in there?
It appeared that way, especially the way he was cold to the media and the team right afterwards. But you got to remember, he just lost the World Series. And so not knowing where he's going. No, and not knowing where he's going next and what's going to happen next. He doesn't know if he's going to have another shot at a World Series. So obviously very upset when you've got an arm like his waiting in that. But they had also agreed. So,
but that's what I'm saying. Whatever you agreed to, you can also believe that on the fly, and because of you know, the fire inside of you, you wanted to be out there, And if it had gone another way and they had won the game, would he have been different, acting differently? Sure. But yeah. because of all those factors, he probably had a little bit of the red ass.
But it was his doing, though. Because he told A.J. Hinch, quote, look, you've got to put me in a position to succeed here. I certainly don't want to pitch if we're behind, obviously, but I want to start an inning and for it to be a tie game or maybe a lead. And those are his words to A.J. Hinch. So that's what A.J. Hinch did.
I think the bigger
I like, though, that we cleared that, because that's going to be one of those things that always hung over this team because of that loss.
The other thing he cleared up in doing so was because a lot of people said, well, what are you talking about? If you'd have brought him in the middle of an inning, he had a lead. And then Will Harris gave it up. And that's what the biggest thing to clear up was. He wasn't going to come in a jam in the middle of an inning. So that does a lot right there to kind of just clear the air and set the table for going forward. Because now we have some answers and some clarity we didn't have before.
Agree.
So it'll be interesting to see because, again, obviously the two best teams, at least on paper in the American League, are once again going to be the Astros and the Yankees, as the Red Sox are just basically having a fire sale to try and cut payroll and get through the year. So, that's going to be one to keep an eye on. Garrett Cole's first appearance against the Astros would be one to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't hitting anybody, but you know he's gonna come at them. They're going to come at him. Yeah. So
that's going to be a fun series all year long.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, happy Pancake Day.
What?
Yeah, it's Pancake Day.
Well, I'll tell you what.
A.K.A. Fat Tuesday. It's Fat Tuesday.
Is that done intentionally?
So I looked it up because I saw something where Pancake Day was trending. I was like, what the hell is Pancake Day? I thought it was Fat Tuesday. So apparently Fat Tuesday is also called Pancake Day or Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday.
But is it every Tuesday also, is Pancake Day?
Just because it's Mardi Gras.
Yeah. And because
it's the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday is called Pancake Day.
And with Lent coming up.
So Ash Wednesday is tomorrow. So I just want to remind you when you see people with don't do what I did and be like, hey, you got something on your forehead.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
You doesn't surprise me you did that.
It was years ago. It was before I even got into maybe I was in radio, but I was still had a day job.
Was it the second year of the show?
No. It was like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. I told this story. I tell the story every year, but there was a chick in the office and I had never seen anyone with the sign of the cross on their head from Ash Wednesday when they go to church. Swear to God.
How old were you and you had never seen this?
I just had never seen it. I mean, I'm married to a Catholic chick and she never does it. I just had never seen it. So when I saw the first time, I was like, hey, you have something on your forehead. And this chick goes, yeah, dumbass, it's Ash Wednesday. And I was like, and then I pretended like I was like, oh, yeah. And I had no idea what that was. So I had to go back to my desk and Google it. So don't make that mistake, all you youngsters out there.
I will admit,
be an idiot.
I love me some pancakes.
Well, it's called Pancake Day, and I have no idea why. I guess it's just to fatten yourself up before you give up a lot of food for Lent.
Yeah, Lisa said we're going to give up caffeine. I go, no, I'm not. Not the situation I'm in.
Are you Catholic? You're not even Catholic, are you?
Yes.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, because I had to get married. Lisa.
Really? Because my wife's Catholic and I didn't have to?
Well, it depends on how and where you get. You got married in Vegas. I got married in a damn church.
Yeah.
So you kind of have there's requirements.
Good thing you didn't marry a Satanist. You'd be a satanic worshiper right now, right?
I don't know that I would have made that commitment.
I mean, you know.
Without making the other commitment.
Sex would have probably been pretty good.
Well, on that note, that's just the first half hour of the show. We still got 2.5 hours to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along on the drive. Wherever you may be on a Tuesday in Houston, sun is shining, nice day outside. Be ready, Nicholas. It's going to get chilly tonight.
I think it was colder in Vegas when I was there than it was here in Houston. So
was it cold?
I might be conditioned.
Was it cold in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, it was real cold.
I always know that we used to want to go to Vegas for All-Star break to golf, and we went and had to buy ski hats and turtlenecks And we were like, what the hell is this? Well, it gets cold in the desert, too.
Oh, yeah. At night, it definitely can get cold. It could be one of those days where it's not too bad during the day, and then come nighttime, it gets pretty cold. So, yeah.
And, Barry, you who want one more freeze, maybe
yes.
you're going to get close to it, but I don't think you're going to get there. Lows in the mid to upper 30s, but then still highs in the 60s for the next couple
I'll take
days.
A frost. I don't need a freeze. I'll take a frost, just enough to kill the weeds. I'm not ready to get out and have to pull weeds in the flower beds. So just kill them.
Like Nick and I have told you, we pay people to do that, so we don't have to.
People keep asking me about weed and feed and all that stuff, and I've repeated myself 1,000 times, so you're just going to have to
just
listen
keep
better.
It to the podcast.
Yeah, just listen better. I'm not going to keep repeating myself about weeds every day for the
it's
next
the
five
It's the Pain in the
weeks.
Grass podcast brought to
no,
you by
that's
Barry
not,
Laminick.
That would definitely not be the name.
No?
No. Mm-hmm. I like it, but that would definitely not be the name. Hey, real quick, where are we on people that use the subject line of an email to be the email?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I have a person in my life, and I'm not going to say who or what relationship or whatever, but that's when they send me an email, the whole email is in the subject.
Nah, not acceptable.
And I just need an email to be an email and the subject to be what the email's about.
Right, so I know if I should open it right away.
Yeah,
or...
but it can't be like, hey, just wanted to let you know, yada, 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 yada. Let me know if you, yada, yada. And then you open the email, nothing in it. All that is in the subject.
Yeah, that's annoying.
And I'm like, why are you using this? That's the whole point of the body of the email. Subject should be topic. One, two words, you know. Maybe not even a sentence.
Dinner tomorrow or gig this weekend.
Exactly. I don't need the whole email on the subject. And if you do that, you should lose your email privileges.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
For a limited amount of time. You can get them a chance to give them a chance to redeem themselves at a certain period of time. But I believe that they should be taught a lesson.
What I'm going to start doing is replying and putting my reply in the subject with their subject. Then that way they have to read the whole subject to get the reply.
Well, tell Barry Warner to stop doing
that. No, that's... That's,
that would be a very Barry Warner thing to do.
Is the whole email on the subject?
Yeah, and Nick, I don't know. I think I told you this, but we know he's writing a book.
Uh-huh.
And he's always talked about it, but I don't know when the wheels started turning. He was actually going to try and go through with it. But evidently, I'm on the short list of editorial opinions, and he just started emailing me chapters. Not just excerpts, but chapters. And I'm like, do you really think I've got time with... a newborn and everything we got going on, and I'm going to sit down and just kind of plow through a couple chapters of the life and times of Barry Warner.
When I ran into him at the Astros game last year on opening day, he did the same thing. You know, I'm writing a book. And then he sent me like five chapters. I was like, nope, not reading
now,
that.
The first one he sent me was just an excerpt from one of the chapters, and I read that, and I gave him comments on it. And
did
he
you?
And he appreciated it. Thus, he then sent two more emails with the first, I think, six
Screwed
chapters.
Up.
I'm like, nope, just can't do it. Not going to happen today. So, yeah, I could see him doing that. We're on the subject line. Yeah. He gives you a few
Holy
choice paragraphs.
No. Don't need that.
Don't I'm call good. Me Kurt. The Barry Warner story. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of, to quote the Little River Band, walking through the park and reminiscing. That's going to be the Barry Warner story.
By the way, you guys can stop texting your long questions. It's not happening today.
Or any day if we can.
Yeah. Just specifically today.
Now, we were talking about food.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, with the pancake thing and all that other stuff, Tiger Woods, as we all know, won the Masters last year. So, he's come out and let everyone know on a conference call what the menu is going to be like at Augusta for the champions dinner this year, because the guy who wins it last year gets to pick the menu the following year when all the champions gather the week of the Masters to kick off the festivities.
Uh-huh.
And he said, being born and raised in Southern California, having
tofu.
This is the thing that I don't get. Being born and raised in Southern California, and I guess I could ask Lisa about this, having fajitas and sushi was part of my entire childhood, and I'm going to back to what I had in 2006 after he won it. So we'll have steak and chicken fajitas. We'll have sushi and sashimi on the deck.
I don't even know what that is.
And I hope the guys will enjoy it. I have always associated fajitas with either the Tex-Mex of Texas or either in Mexico or other places.
It's
Southern California?
Yeah, I mean, there's... Southern California is known for its Mexican food.
I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a lot of Hispanics in Southern California.
Well, I married one of them. But I didn't know that it was known in Southern California like it would be. Everyone coming to Texas wants Tex-Mex or fajitas.
Well, that's why it's a common argument between people from California and Texas who has the better Mexican food.
Oh, is that a back and forth?
Oh, it's just like In-N-Out Burger and Whataburger.
Or barbecue between Kansas City and Houston kind of thing? Or
similar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he said for dessert, it was one
although that's a weird pairing when you think about it.
Yeah.
Fajitas and sushi. Yeah. And I just had to Google sashimi because I had no idea. It's just basically like sushi. It's just raw fish or meat.
Are you guys sushi eaters?
No, God,
negative.
No.
Me neither.
Can't do it.
Nope.
Just can't either. I'm with you.
I like my fish like I like my women.
Hot.
Hot and breaded.
I don't know about going to the breaded point of view, but he also gets to pick dessert, and he said his fondest memory was seeing the old school guys, Gene Sarazen and Sam Snead, having milkshakes on the deck.
Okay.
So he is considering milkshakes as his dessert.
What would be yours?
That would probably be...
Ketchup and...
Cheesecake.
No, I'm saying what would be your meal? Yeah, it would be ketchup, big bowls of ketchup, and what would we be dipping in the ketchup?
That would be a condiment for sure, yes. Boy, if I had to pick the meal.
Yeah. You could have anything, apparently.
Yeah, I guess I would go, I'd go with outdoor fare. I would go with grilled steak or chicken.
Okay.
And then all of those kind of baked potato, and potatoes, all those kind of fixings.
I'm going to that one.
Yeah.
I think that'd be mine too. Ribeye.
That's where I'm going to go.
Ribeye steaks for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or fillets or T-bone, whatever you want.
No, ribeye. Don't get off track.
I'm going fillet.
Really?
Yeah.
So you... You like
of course,
that.
I
you
like that. It. You know I like it medium well, and then I'm going to get hammered for that. But
you like that feminine steak?
No. It's just a choice cut of meat.
Okay. Filet is good, dude.
Yeah.
I love filet, ribeyes. I love all those.
Yeah, I'll go ribeye.
Once again, based on the fact that you were hobnobbing it, dining with Eric Sandler and eating the meal that you ate in Vegas.
Fancy.
Yeah, and looked delicious.
Yeah, that spot is amazing. I would definitely go back if I could, but yeah, I don't know if I could go back that frequently. It's a pricey spot.
Yeah, you were giving me some of the breakdown. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the expense reports are going to be rolling in. So as long as the Sarge gets to approve all that, then you guys should be fine because he dined with you.
No, it was cool. And I liked how what they'll do is they'll actually repurpose some of that filet and they'll put it in like a fried rice.
That's what you said. And then I heard Fred and AJ talking about that. Yeah,
it's really good.
That beef rib was so big that they used the leftovers to make beef fried rice for the table.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because that's I'll tell you what, I've been trying to do what you're doing is work out a ton more and also eat better. And boy, the Chinese food place, if I can get the chicken fried rice, oof.
Really?
I can kill that.
That's weird because I'm not a big seafood guy, but I love shrimp fried rice.
Shrimp fried rice.
I don't know
too.
Why I like shrimp in my fried rice more than anything else.
Yeah, and I don't like to get fried rice with my entree. I like steamed rice. But as an entree, I would get chicken fried rice, and I would just annihilate the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, a little ketchup on it?
No ketchup on Chinese.
Oh, food. I didn't.
I don't put ketchup on everything. Just select things.
I feel like.
No, I don't put it on steak.
Okay.
No.
You don't put it in your water?
No. You can see that.
Mix it up. It
would be called tomato juice then.
A V8?
And I'm not a big
V8.
I know. Wow, I could have had a V8, and I also selected the option of not having a V8. I'm not a big... My parents used to drink it. I'm not a fan.
I've never had one, but I couldn't do it. I don't like tomatoes as it is, which is weird because I do like ketchup. But I don't think I could drink tomato juice. Probably why I don't drink Bloody Marys.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure the only reason why most people drink tomato juice is if they got vodka in it.
No, thanks.
And then the stalk of celery. No thanks either.
That's just too healthy. Yeah. I don't want to be healthy while I'm getting drunk.
Plus, if you overindulge, you don't want to be throwing that back up either. Because that can ruin a whole lot of stuff that are tomato-based.
Amen.
All right, we'll continue to roll as we're just in hour number one of the three-hour show. If you want to join us, some of you texting, some of you tweeting, no one calling just yet, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Rolling through the first hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. That means, well, you know, tomorrow's Wednesday. We'll get to it. So I was going to ask you guys, driving home last night, I did happen to catch Fred and AJ talking about the fight after getting your guys' opinions on it. And then hearing that after all the compliments you gave, you guys both gave Wilder for just kind of owning it and going through everything.
Uh-huh.
He blamed a over 45-pound costume that he wore into the ring as the reason why his legs were not ready and sturdy and strong enough to endure the entire match.
I saw that.
Your thoughts?
I think you could blame the blood coming out of his ear for why he was so wobbly.
I think his equilibrium, regardless of whether he was bleeding or not, and obviously, and Nick, you were the first one, to make sure everybody knew the real story, which was everybody thought he had a ruptured eardrum. He didn't. He had stitches in there. But he just got his bell rung to the point where he was...
That's what I mean. If you get hit hard enough to bleed,
yeah,
you got hit hard. And he was, once he got hit and knocked down, he was wobbly for pretty much the rest of the fight. There were times when he would get it back, but then he would get hit again. And once that happens, man, once you start getting hit repeatedly and you've lost a little bit of your, you know, coherentness, it's difficult to get that. You need time to recover. And if you're in a fight, that's difficult to get that back right away.
I wish I knew what the context was because, I mean, I just saw the headline. I didn't see what was actually asked. Maybe someone just asked about the costume and he was like, yeah, man, it was heavy. But if he did really use it as an excuse, it's never going to come as a good look. Even if someone asked about the costume after the fact and he wasn't using it as an excuse and he just said it was heavy, it's going to come off as an excuse. So I can see why he might have been getting backlash. And that's not me making an excuse for him. But, no, he lost that fight fair and square. I think he knows that. Tyson Fury was a completely different fighter from the first match than he was in this match. And I think he recognizes that.
Yeah, and he already has said through his crew that they're definitely going to exercise their option to have a Wilder Fury 3. So that is going to be on the horizon, and they have the option of doing that in the contractually, and it looks like they are going to do it. But we'll see. Obviously, the other thing that it'll be interesting to see is if he makes changes to his corner, because he had one guy that threw the towel in, the other guy saying he wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be interested to see that, and then like we had talked about too, see if he's actually going to make some changes to try to work on becoming more of a boxer instead of just a guy that's going to try to look to deliver that one big punch.
Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you zebras don't change their stripes, and he got this far doing what he does. But when you go out and you get outboxed, you better learn how to box a little.
Right, right.
And he's not old, incredibly old. It's not like he's, he's young enough to make the adjustments, in my opinion, to incorporate a lot more technique in his punches. And a lot of times, man, if you find the right trainer, you can make some really big strides in a small time period. So I don't think it's past him to work on his technique, but he has a lot to work on considering how much Tyson Fury has evolved, So it'll be interesting to see, though.
Well, and here's, Nick, to your point. I don't know how it was phrased, but he started out by saying there were a lot of things that went wrong leading up to the fight in the last minutes before the fight, but I accept responsibility. I paid a severe price because my legs were how they were because of my uniform. My uniform was way too heavy. It was 40-plus pounds. We had it on for 10 to 15 minutes before we even walked out. Then we put the helmet on. That extra weight, then the ring walk, then going up the stairs. It was like a real workout for my legs, and when I took it off, I knew immediately the game had changed.
Yeah, then he was definitely using it as an excuse. But if that was the case, I think he should never come out in a costume that's 40 pounds.
When was the third round he got hit in the ear?
I believe so, yeah.
I would have to go back and look. I don't remember.
Because he followed it up by saying, I let the designers freelance with it, and it was their idea. And by the third round, I had no legs. I was completely done. Legs were gone. I had to step into survival mode very early. But you know me. I'm going out on my shield. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. That's what I do.
Yeah, I would have to go back and look. It sounds like that was about the same.
I think it was. I thought it was the third round, but for whatever the reason, you can look forward to.
Regardless, he needs to know not to wear that costume again.
That for one, and for two, whatever you do, you better make some changes in your training regimen and otherwise leading up to Fury Wilder 3.
Yeah, like learn how to parry a jab.
Maybe.
Maybe learn how, you know, maybe get a little better head movement and get out of the way of the jab.
I'll say
that might help.
Because for a big guy, boy, Fury moves well.
Mm-hmm.
He's, when you talk about a technician, it's amazing to see how well he moves for a man that's that large.
Yeah, for a heavyweight, he has pretty decent boxing skills. And he's still got power. Of course, when you outweigh somebody by 40 pounds in a fight, I don't care what you do. If you hit them, it's going to hurt. I mean, think about that.
Oh, no,
you fought a guy. If you had to street fight a guy that was 40 pounds more than you, it's a significant disadvantage, even if you're a better fighter than him. So, and he's got better boxing skills than Wilder. So, that's a bad combination in a lot of ways.
You're also talking about a guy in Fury where fighting has just been in his family for years. So it's literally in his blood to fight. And I think a lot of people were kind of, you know, there was a big misconception because, you know, the way his body looked and all that extra fat that he wasn't necessarily in shape. But, no, fighting is in his DNA. So, you know, I expected Fury to bring a good fight. I just didn't think it'd be that one-sided, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how that all breaks out coming up. I'm kind of done with it. I didn't need the third fight. But obviously for the payday, I understand it.
Yeah.
And he's going to go back and give it one more whirl. Also saw that Fury donated or was going to donate all $9 million of his winnings.
He doesn't keep a lot of money. He doesn't live like that. That was what was impressive to me when I learned about him, leading up to the previous fights. And he's just not a guy that he's whatever you think of Floyd Mayweather, he is the opposite of that.
Don't you think too? But the other thing that struck me was $9 million was light. You would think with pay-per-views and everything like that.
Yeah, pretty good, though, right?
I thought they both said that it was – I thought I read somewhere that they were both going to get an eight-figure deal.
Okay.
Kevin Ioli was on – when he joined me, he said after it's all said and done, they're probably going to get $20 million. So.
Okay. So. Yeah, I was
– they're still getting paid. They're obviously, their purses was nothing like, Mike Tyson and, Evander Holyfield. I think that was like a $30 million and a $35 million purse for that. They're not at that level. Their name recognition is not there, but they still got paid incredibly well.
And the thing is, I understand he's building a persona for himself that's going to carry over even after he gets done fighting, but that's a lot of money to donate all of it.
Yeah.
I can see a portion.
I feel like the other thing that was kind of I didn't understand is this whole lineal championship that it seemed to be made a big deal of going into this, that he was the man that beat the man that beat the man that beat the man. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not there's who's in front of you, because if you beat the man that beat the man that beat the man, there's like, I think it was Klitschko that he beat to you know, be part of the lineal championship or whatever because he's undefeated. But there's no telling when you fought Klitschko and at what point in his career that was. And I don't know. I kept hearing that over and over. And I'll be honest, I hadn't really heard about that before. Or seen it made that to be that big of a deal. At least maybe I just didn't pay attention. But I was like, that doesn't mean much to me. It's more about who are you fighting now and where are they at in their career? Because if you were to fight a guy like Manny Pacquiao at the end of his career, it's a big difference than fighting him at his peak. Same thing with Floyd Mayweather and anybody else, because these guys that end up losing, like if Ali was, you know, one of those guys, okay, that's fine. So you beat him at the end of his career when he wasn't good anymore. So I don't know. It's they made such a big deal out of it, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm missing out on that.
Wouldn't the natural progression instead of Wilder Fury 3 also just be Joshua Fury? Because everybody wants to see
probably
that.
What's going to happen. And to that point is, Anthony Joshua has the other three belts. He has the IBF and the WBO and the IBO, but the WBC is the one that's most respected. And you're talking about that guy who has three different belts, right? Yep. And he's a guy who lost to Andy Ruiz in a fight he should not have lost at all. There's and then when he did when he had the rematch, he literally had to be really selective and he had to strategize to just outpoint that guy. And he lost to someone he was undefeated until then. And then he had to outstrike him just to beat him. So that's why a lot of people believe that when Tyson Fury, if and when Tyson Fury does face Anthony Joshua, that it probably won't be a very hard fight for Tyson Fury because he's not respected as much, even with those three belts.
Bigger payday, Fury Joshua, or
I don't think so.
No, Wilder, I think Fury 3.
I think Fury Wilder was probably a bigger fight.
I think the third one will probably be a little bit more, but you've got I think the third fight would have been more if somebody had definitively won the first fight. But because you had a split draw the first fight and then you have Fury winning, and it's now it's just more of a can Wilder recapture it and create a fourth fight, which is really, I think, what both of them are kind of hoping for. And be careful, because boxing is shady, man. And if there's a fourth Wilder-Fury fight, which I don't even know if fans would care about anymore, but that it would lend you to believe that something was up. At least it would me. I just don't trust boxing. But he, you know, both of them had the right to a rematch, and he flexed it, and obviously that's the smart thing. It's a smart thing to do, to take the rematch, but I just don't know if it's even going to have as much behind it, because kind of already settled it. We saw it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's pretty dominant, and he should have won the first fight before he got knocked down.
He was obviously. All right, so that's hour number one of the show. We got 2 hours still to go. So if you want to join us, please do. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. That's our HR&P listener line. You can always hit us on Twitter as well. Hour number two is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.